Radio.
Welcome back to Barracks Talk here on WDVRDVRadio.net. I'm Boner Wood. We got Frosty and Oink here with us. And we also have our special guest and author, Betsy Ross. Betsy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. Super great. It's wonderful, wonderful week. It's just beautiful. Now, you're the author of the Fight series, correct?
Correct.
All right. For our listeners that may have not heard me and Oink, and I think Frosty has chimed in during the other shows, talk about the Fight series and yourself. If you wouldn't mind, could you please give us a little bit of background about yourself? And I know you're a veteran yourself, so if you wouldn't mind, just a quick history on all of that, and then we could talk about your series and your book and where you want to go with that and all that good stuff.
See, I guess my military experience was pretty much short-lived, unfortunately. I had gotten injured, but so I was only in the Army for a couple years, but the transitioning out was pretty rough for me, and that started a bunch of obstacles, which did eventually lead to me wanting to write a book series to try to help veterans, because I did try to go to the VA for counseling because I knew I probably needed to speak to someone, and they denied me because I was not medically discharged. I know that's not true now, but at the time it was, well, if you're not suicidal, then you can't speak with anyone. So because the VA denied me and I felt like I had no help, I was jumping couch to couch. I couldn't find a job. I was struggling. I eventually somehow dug myself out and wrote the Fight series. Try to reach out.
Nice. Now, you said, you know, you had your personal experiences through the military, and then after you got out, is that what inspired you to do the Fight series, or is it a little bit more in depth than, well, my life inspired it?
I guess really all of the above, because I mean, I've always wanted to be a writer ever since I was a kid, but I didn't know what I would write about. And then when I really started thinking about how veterans were treating veterans, because I even had veterans basically harass and bully me in person and online because I didn't deploy, because I didn't do anything, but yet I was trying to say that I was a veteran. And I realized that's not helping the mental health. It's not helping the veteran community. It's not helping anybody. So when I wanted to do something to give myself, I guess, a hobby, I started writing, and then I developed characters that could kind of signify these stereotypes that we have in our veteran community that can kind of portray why suicide rates are increasing, why is transitioning for veterans so difficult for so many, for all genders, all ranks, everybody.
You said something that we've talked about here on the show. We try to let people know that just because you didn't, you know, go overseas or you weren't in a combat theater or whatever, veteran as defined by the government is completely different as veterans and military service members, active or not, define it. And we define that as long as you made it to your first duty station and you done what you were supposed to do. To us, you're a veteran, and that's how it should be. Semantics, if you want to get that, but I digress. You did mention that veterans do have and military service members on top of that, if, like I said, we want to play semantics, have problems transitioning out of the military into the civilian world of all genders and ranks. Is there anything that you did put into the Fight series that you want people to be like, hey, yeah, that's me? Or is it a broad spectrum of anyone that reads it?
I definitely try to reach out to anyone who would be able to read it. That is one reason I wrote it so short, so that those who do have PTSD or anything, they can still manage through reading it. I try to pick out characters that can relate to anybody. I guess on the emotional side of it, I do put on myself and how I experienced and overcame some obstacles. But when writing about such in-depth emotions, a lot of people don't like facing those. So I tried to make it realistic enough to where it hits home, but not so much to where I want to have it backfire where I'm just kicking veterans. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, make veterans look bad. I'm just trying to basically show the real deal of what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. And reading the first installment of Fight, I got that. Like you said, you know, you don't want to push it to the point where everybody's going to be like, screw this person. Yeah, what she said might be true, but, you know, whatever, screw her, you know. But at the same time, you've got to have that hook. You've got to. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked, you know, throughout us trying to get you here on the show. And finally, right? And the one thing I've noticed in entertainment when it comes to realistic fiction or nonfiction or even biographies, they don't always push the envelope, but they push the envelope. And that's what you're doing. And the way you're doing it is completely what is needed, because somebody goes and reads some Navy SEALs, you know, 6-man tag team on Osama bin Laden or whatever. And they're like, oh, he's a badass. Yeah, they do this and do that, but they don't see the after effects. They only see the good times, the fun times, the explosions with sprinkles and unicorns, as you see in Hollywood, right? Exactly. So, and you mentioned PTSD, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a few of the things that I noticed while reading it, it could be different for anybody, but besides the PTSD was, you know, physical disabilities, depression, survivor's guilt. Is that something that you meant to put into at least the first book? Like I said, I've only read the first one. But is that what you wanted to portray in this one?
Yes, a little bit. I've tried to pick up on some very generalized, very well-known stereotypes or very well-known things we do see, such as you have your amputees, you have your PTSD, you have your very depressed, or those who turn to alcohol or drugs and all this. So throughout, I planned the series to be a four book series, and I've nearly completed book three, but I wanted to focus on the emotional side. I have brought in some characters who were injured, physically injured, and I don't want to lose focus. Like, I don't want it to be a love book. I don't want it to be all, you know, explosions and gunfire. I don't want it to be just those type of physical things. I want it to be all emotional and mental. That way it hits people on a deeper level where they actually think, either if they're going through it going, hey, I've done this, or I know someone like this, or if they at least have a family member who had came home and wasn't acting what they remembered them to be, you know, they would be able to go, hey, is this what you're thinking? Is this what's going on? I want it to be where family members and veterans can kind of get that communication again, especially with veterans and veterans, but especially with friends and family.
Right. And I felt that through some of the first book. I don't know if that was your intentions or not, because every author is different, and everybody that reads something or seeks anything in entertainment in any way, shape, or form, whether it's a book or music or movie or show, the consumer gets something different than what the author always portrays. I don't care what it is.
Very true.
But a few things that really stuck out to me, and I wrote notes in the book. I don't know if anybody else does that, but I do, because I'm cool like that. Like the self-realization, you know, I failed as a soldier. I noticed that was one of the big parts of at least one of your characters in here. Is that true?
Yes, it definitely was for me. I was that gung-ho soldier when I first went in. Of course, I wasn't infantry. Women couldn't be infantry anyway, but I was definitely, you know, when I got my dog tags, I was like, oh my God, I'm a soldier. I finally made it. I was that type of soldier where it was like, hey, who needs a volunteer? I'll do it. Let's do it. Oh, you got a mission? Got a convoy? Okay, let's do it. But then when I get injured in PT, I'm a personal trainer now. PT was everything to me. I love PT. So for me to get injured, I all of a sudden got put on, I can't remember what they call them now. I ended up on the injured platoon. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, she's just a shitbag now. She's just like everyone else. She's just...
Are you referring to sick call rangers?
Yeah, word. I haven't heard that in years.
I was one of those in AIT when I hurt my back for the first time.
Yes.
So don't feel bad.
And then I was like, okay. And then my unit was getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan. And they ended up chaptering me out because they needed able bodies to go. And I said, okay, I guess if I'm not needed, I kind of just went with it. Because at that point, I was falling into a depression anyway. I was in a very, very ugly marriage at the time. I was not in a very good state of mind. So for me to be chaptered out was probably a good thing. But I wasn't medically discharged. The only injury I told anybody really was just my arm. I didn't say anything about mental or anything. So that definitely went with me when I got out of the military. I went back home, but nothing was right. Like, I didn't feel normal. I didn't feel like I could be anywhere.
Right. So. I completely understand. And I think a lot of our listeners and veterans or service members or what have you, even civilians, feel that to some extent or another.
Right.
No matter what job you've had, no matter what you've done in life, there's always that moment where you don't feel like you quite fit in when you return to friends and family. For whatever reason, human instinct, whatever you want to call it, we don't feel like we fit in. Another huge thing that really jumped out at me, because DV as a whole tries to be there, and one of our main missions is the 22 a day. But the suicide and combat loss and the survivor's guilt from combat loss, and especially the suicide, that was one thing that really hit me in this book. Not going to lie, I had to quit reading it for a minute, which is perfectly fine. Like I've told everybody, and Oink and Frosty can attest to it, this is one of those books that you can stop. But that felt a little more personable than some of the other stuff in the book. I mean, not going to lie, there was some stuff I was like, she's talking from experience. She has to be. And then when I seen some of the suicide stuff, I was like, definitely. Do you want to talk about any of that?
Well, I know when I was still at Fort Bliss, I had a good friend of mine. Because we went out, it was a Memorial Day weekend, 4-day weekend, and we went off to the lake. And we tried to get one of our friends out to come with us. And he said, no, I'm going to be fine. And a few hours later, we had gotten a call that he had hung himself. And that was pretty much the start of all the downfall of my entire dark period of my life. And because I had just spoken with them, we had just partied together, it really hit home. And then it was like I questioned everything. And then when I had gotten home out of the military, another good friend of mine was found dead in his barracks. And it was just like everyone around me was just dying because all my friends were just committing suicide. So in each book, you'll see the list of names, including on my truck. I have a list of names of in memory of all the people who have died. And unfortunately, I think all but one had died by suicide, including a first sergeant and staff sergeant. So it was like all ranks. It wasn't just privates and specialists. It was everybody. It was just like our entire chain of command was just dying. Right. And I know I've attempted a few times. So for me to still be here and actually at least talk about what no one else is going to talk about, that kind of really sets up my mission with Veterans Uniting again. And cause like I said, I've had other veterans bully me saying I shouldn't talk about what I don't know about and that I shouldn't do this. But really all I can say is, well, if you're not going to talk about it and you've been there, who's going to talk about it?
Right.
who's going to bring it up? Who's going to bring it up on the level that probably needs to be heard most?
Exactly. And you and I have both discussed at length, you know, people want to say they want to talk about it, say it needs to be out there. But at the end of the day, whether it's fear or their emotions or whatever, they won't talk about it. They won't put it out there in the aspect that needs to be shown, that needs to be seen, that needs to be heard. Another thing I really noticed was the barracks and college habits or whatever leading to self-medication. And then on top of that, the crowded room but alone feeling. And then, like you said, I'm fine. Was that intended on both of those, or did that just flow onto the paper?
No, absolutely. Those are definitely raw and real. I mean, every author, regardless of what book it is, they do put themselves in the book. And for this series, it's been kind of therapeutic for myself because, I mean, the VA didn't listen to me. My chain of command didn't listen to me. And then, of course, my so-called friends still in the service stopped talking to me. So, and then, of course, any local veterans, you know, I wasn't a cool veteran, so I didn't have any cool stories to tell. So I didn't have anybody. So I just have these characters, and I'm trying to express just how deep these scars can go for so many of us. And I tried to pick up on some of the stereotypical, like, events or thoughts. And because I know for a fact I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone in the things I have thought or felt, especially whether I wanted to end it all or that I, you know, I missed it. I wanted to go back in, and then again, I didn't. And it was just like this internal fight just keeps, you know, building and building. And then you just want to explode. But what can you do? My thing was alcohol. And I couldn't find a job. I couldn't do anything. So it was very hard when reality sets in.
Definitely. And like I said, everybody gets their own take from any book that they read. And I wanted to, for our listeners to hear it from you, yeah, this was intended, well, this wasn't, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Oink, I know you're at work, and if there's no jets flying overhead, what would you like to ask or talk to Betsy about regarding the fight series, one, two, or both of them?
Well, first and foremost, I think she kind of nailed it on the head when she said transitioning is especially hard for service members. I mean, I don't care if you did 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, or like myself, 20 years. I found it extremely difficult transitioning, you know, from a structured, you know, this is what you do, this is how you do it, you know, the whole nine yards, to you're on your own. You know, it's kind of like the military is done with you. You've had your time and you're free, you know. So I think the transitioning part of it was something that I picked up on right away, because, you know, some of those feelings, like you mentioned, I picked up on those right away. It was definitely difficult, even like I said, after retiring, to actually, you know, put myself in the civilian shoes again, if that makes sense. But one of the things I think you touched on too, or you mentioned, was something about making service members look bad. First and foremost, don't ever think that, because I think what you highlighted in both the fight and fight two was spot on. I think, you know, some of those feelings, some of those demons that you mentioned in the books is something that a lot of service members, like you said, feel and, you know, struggle with on a daily basis. So I think you put it in a perspective that anybody, whether they are civilian, never served a day in their life, can pick up the book, read it, and understand what that individual is feeling and going through. So I think you did a tremendous job. I was Air Force, so, you know, some of the PTSD stuff, you know, my career field, I was a mechanic, so I didn't get to experience a lot of the stuff that, you know, our Army brothers and sisters did. So I think you did a tremendous job of laying it out to where, like I said, somebody like myself, yes, I've heard of, you know, people going on, you know, the combat missions and stuff like that, but to actually understand what they were feeling during that time, or like I said, coming back and trying to deal with those demons, you know, that they had, I think you nailed it. I think it was spot on. And, you know, I think if a lot of folks ever are out there that are listening right now that are, you know, like myself, that's kind of like, well, I never really deployed, you know, I don't know what, I never experienced it. I tell you what, pick up the book, read both of them, and you're going to be hooked. I think you did a tremendous job.
Thank you. That really means a lot. kind of questioned it. So
if you're just tuning in, we're here on Barracks Talk on DVRadio.net with Betsy Ross, the author of the Fight series. She has currently Fight and Fight 2 to Fight Again, correct?
Okay.
Wanted to make sure. Sorry. Out currently, and she's working on Fight 3. Now, Frosty, sir, you've read them both, correct?
Correct. Read them both. Very good books.
Thank you.
And what would you like to talk to Betsy about or ask her pertaining to either one of them?
I really enjoyed them. And like Bo was saying, where he had to set the book down, I actually consciously had to start doing that with each section. I'm normally an avid reader, and I'll read a book front cover to cover and almost no time at all. But I found I was reading little sections and setting it down because I was, even though as a Marine and I deployed, I didn't experience a lot of the same things, but a lot of the thought processes that your characters had, I experienced after I got out. And it was kind of, I'd have to set it down because I'd start thinking about some of those things that I had thought about after getting out. It was really, really made me think a lot, which was something that I haven't had a book do in a long time. I really appreciated that.
Well, good. Mission complete.
Yeah, definitely. And like Frosty said, I served and I deployed, and even doing what I've done and been through what I've been through, and you know, having to deal with the emotional toll of sitting on my ass, you know, 24/7 for the last 10 years on the couch, even reading this book, it brought back so many, not necessarily bad memories, but those memories that you second guess. And like I said, it's not always a bad thing to think those. It's according to how you're thinking about them, obviously. But the fact that you drew some things out of me that a lot of people can't, I don't know if it's because I was reading it and I was alone, but like Frosty said, I appreciate that. The way you wrote it, that's another thing. Most authors have to be all grammatically correct and, you know, let's put British and American English together and let's go to town and let me use my college professor English 93rd, 4th degree or whatever. That's not so with these books. You actually use everyday language. I know in the second book, because I like to flip through to make sure all the pages are there, because I don't trust a lot of publishing companies. I've had that happen before. I've had pages missing, believe it or not. And even though it's not in the first one, and I think you're republishing, but we'll get into that in just a moment. But in the second book, you do have a glossary of acronyms from the military, which I think is outstanding. Not just for those of us who's not been in forever, but for civilians and people who may not be aware of some of these acronyms that are serving or have served and haven't been updated. Was that conscious, or was that something that you noticed through your reviews and readers?
It was definitely kind of an add-on, because the first book, when I originally started Fight, it wasn't meant to be a series. It was strictly supposed to try to reach veterans. That's why I just stuck with the acronyms. I just stuck with the jargon and everything, because I wanted to reach veterans. But after I had published it, I started having more and more friends and family who actually began reading it. They're like, well, this actually could help families too. And I'm like, well, I guess it could. And then I kind of just spelled everything out. I, like some of the situations, I'll say, well, this is the reason why they do that. Some veterans don't like that, because they're like, well, you don't have to baby it so much. You don't have to break it down so much. I mean, if the civilian doesn't get it, then they don't get it, but because the veteran's the main mission. But when I said, well, let's write Fight 2, that's when I added in the military terms, and I started to, the main focus is the veteran, but I want to be able to get families to communicate with their veteran as well. So I opened up that that segue, if you will.
And if I could say something real quick there, Bo, before I get ran over by an aircraft again. no, I think it was spot on. I think, you know, spouses that have husbands or wives that have deployed, and they themselves have never experienced it. And they're, you know, they notice a change in their significant other of, you know, why are they acting weird now? You know, why is it going on? You know, that for them to actually pick up this book and to read and now to actually understand what those terms are, what those acronyms are, I think you did a tremendous job of adding that in that second book.
Okay, good.
Yeah. As cheesy as it sounds, I'll be talking to a mechanic friend of mine. And when I was deployed, I was a cook. Even though I'd done some other stuff outside of that, my main job was a cook, and I had to do the trash runs every day, 8 times a week, twice on Sunday because of brunch. But anyway, we had a PLS, and you tell people what a PLS is, and they're like, what's a PLS? And you have to explain it to them. And then, you know, you talk to your mechanic friends and you're like, I had to PMCS my truck here, there. And they're like, what's PMCS? 'Cause they have no clue. They're like deer in the headlights when you say that. You know, you might as well be talking astrophysics to them. And there are some things that are probably not needed to be explained to civilians or people that's never, you know, had to deal with military soldiers and personnel. But on that same token, like you said, it's better to understand when your spouse or your best friend is saying whatever acronym, and they done this and they done that. If I talk about mop training and that led to whatever, and that's right, what triggers my PTSD. Well, what's mop training? They sort of kind of need to know that. So, you know, if something happens, they can explain it to whomever else, you know, exactly, to get you your help. And that's just an example. All you guys that are listening and fucking, I know the jokes are going to come. I'm just waiting for it. Anyway.
Well, even to go along with that, being from different branches of service as a Marine, I kind of had an idea what some of them, the acronyms were, but we use a little bit different ones, and it helped me kind of, oh, that's what she's talking about.
See, Frosty's used to Crayola acronyms. we don't have those in the Army.
Yeah, I was an ammo tech. I went to school with Marines, so I know.
Well, we're sorry.
One of the best.
We're special.
One of the best acronym jokes I ever heard was they done the leadership thing, the LDR, SHIP, you know, loyalty, duty, respect. And someone was like, why don't you just spell out leadership? And he's like, because that's the best thing about the Army. You don't have to spell. So now, you are a self-publisher and you're doing this on your own as much as possible. And to see where it's come from your humble beginnings is amazing. Would you like to tell our listeners where they can find your book and what your plans are for Fight 3 and Fight 4 and so on and so forth?
Okay. Let's see. Fight 1 right now is just available on Kindle. I had no longer published with BookVenture, so I'm going to republish it again, self-publish, and once I can. Fight 2, though, is available on Kindle and paperback on Amazon. Fight 3 will also be available Kindle and paperback once I'm finished with it. It should be completed by the end of the year. I guess just real quick, Fight kind of puts a spin on the introduction of PTSD and how veterans in general can start second guessing their so-called new life. You kind of pick that up on chapter 1 right away. Even when you move on, you tend to rethink everything and have flashbacks. Then Fight 2 kind of puts a spin with relationships, different types of relationships. And then Fight 3 will have more of introduction of like drug use and everything else. Fight 4, I'm wanting to introduce firefighters, EMTs, police officers, mainly from a veteran perspective. I'm still trying to find interviews and people who are willing to tell me stories on that. But yes, I've been very excited to get Fight going, and I like being a self-publisher primarily because I don't like due dates and I don't like being told what I can put into my books. But at the same time, I do try to listen to readers, and if there's a perspective or a story that they have that I can put a twist on on one of my characters, then I can definitely do that. That's one great thing I love about being a writer. But sad thing is, every veteran has a story. Everyone, not everyone can just jump out of the military and go into school, find a job. Some people go through different obstacles. Some end up homeless. Some of them in a very bad place. So it's very important if I can try to reach out to people who are willing to give me more of the personal side of what they experience. Cause not everyone even realizes that a veteran who has all this training, you know, all these magnificent medals and whatnot, and they can end up on the streets. Oh, I get that question all the time. How does a veteran become homeless? Oh, I can't even tell you. I couldn't begin to tell you. There's numerous reasons why, but because of that, everyone has a story. Everyone has their own way.
You mentioned people telling you stories from their perspective and stuff like that.
Right.
Is there a way people can reach out to you if they want to let you know what their story is or how one of your books affected them, other than reviews? Because I know a lot of veterans don't like to put stuff public all the time. Right. I left you a review and you have no clue who I am. Literally, she has no clue which review is mine. She thinks I didn't, but I did. How can people reach out to you? Like I said, if they don't want to make something public and they either were affected by your book in some way or the series in some way, or they just want to, you know, let you know their story.
The best locations are either Instagram or Twitter. I seem to have better contacts through Twitter. If you can just DM me or just post on my wall or my page that you need to speak with me or whatever, I'm very much easily able to do that. I'm always on the go, but because I'm in school, I've got multiple things going on at the same time. So it's, but it's still possible. And I'd still like to be able to reach out when I can, because I do try to promote Veterans Uniting again, because I know how important that, you know, who knows a vet better than a vet. Sad thing is, I've seen the dark side of vets too. So, I want to show that not all vets are the same, that we are willing to listen. You know, not everyone's going to make fun of you just because you didn't deploy or anything like that. Some of us are very understanding and very open-minded, that we are able to reach out and when we can.
Right. You and I have talked. We want to work together. I want to work with you with this series. I hope we can very soon, with the ideas you and I threw back at each other. Frosty Oink, do you have anything that you'd like to end on with Betsy?
Thank you. I enjoyed the books, and I can't wait to read the next ones. It's been interesting following your characters.
I appreciate that.
No, the only thing I got is, you know, stay true to you. Don't let these other critics and folks that are, even if they leave a bad review, put you down. I think, like I said, coming from an Air Force perspective where I didn't deploy a whole lot. You know, I deployed once in a whole 20-year career, if that gives you any indication. Wasn't that I, you know, didn't or wouldn't go. There's plenty of volunteers in my career field, and if they wanted to go sit in a sandbox, they go sit in a sandbox. I'd much rather be at home with my wife and kids and enjoying the holidays. So, you know, I had that choice, and luckily I did. But so main thing is don't let the bad critics keep you down. I think you're doing a like I said, a spot on job of nailing the emotions, the struggles, the demons that a lot of folks are facing. And hopefully, you know, if they do have to put the book down, they can relate and they get right back into it, because it's definitely a well-written series. And, you know, congrats and good luck on the future.
Thank you.
Definitely. Betsy, is there anything that you'd like for our listeners to know about your book series or anything at all? This is your last few minutes here.
Oh, good gosh. No pressure.
Right.
Not necessarily. I just fight series itself is very unique. Kind of what Oink had already stated, you know, some people do have to just pause. I do have a better buddy I served with. She can only read one page at a time. She can't read much more than that. So it's very understandable if it hits home. That was the point of it. It was supposed to hit you, you know, where you're like, you have to stop and think about what you're doing. With all the craziness going on in our world, I think we get lost in the semantics of mental health and veterans and politics and all this and that. We forget, you know, veterans keep committing suicide and people keep asking why. And all I can think is the answer's in front of you. You have to reach out. You have to take a stand. You have to be a leader. Just because you take off the uniform doesn't mean that you just stop being a vet, that you stop being that NCO or, you know, that commander or whatever. You don't stop being who you are just because you're not an actual soldier or Marine or anything like that. You are still you and you are a leader. Therefore, you need to take a stand and help your fellow soldiers.
Definitely, definitely, 100%. Fucking definitely. That is Betsy Ross. She is the author of the Fight series. Fight 1 and 2 is available right now. The links will be in the description of the podcast. And I just sent them in dvradio.net/chat in the chat room. So please go check it out. If you can get it on Kindle, get it on Kindle. It's not that much. Trust me, it's worth the read. It's worth the few bucks that you're going to be paying. And you're supporting a veteran author. Thank you, Betsy Ross. Please go grab her book right now. And don't forget to leave a review if you have read it already or you're planning on reading it. DV Radio.